Good morning. This is December 21st, 2006, our city council study session. We have kind of a short agenda, but we have one item that has brought up some discussion, I know, with the Parks and Rec Board also, and that's to hear a presentation, discuss and provide direction on the protocol relating to special events previously sponsored by the City of Mesa.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. My name is Tricia Sorensen. I'm the former acting Community Services Department Manager. I've now got a new role, so I'm going to kind of be presenting the history behind why we're here today. Then I'm going to turn it over to Alfred Smith from the City Attorney's Office. He's going to talk about legal opinion resulting from the discussion we've had on special events protocol. And then we'll finish it off with Red Evans, who's now in charge of Parks, Recreation, and Commercial Facilities. So he's going to kind of take it from here forward, depending on the guidance we get from you today. And with me, we have Frida Bisman, who's an outside legal attorney that worked with us on this case. As you know, on this last budget year, we cut our funding for special events from the Parks and Recreation budget and eliminated 2.8 FTEs. As a result, we've tried to limit our role to just supporting special events through information dissemination and creating reservations for equipment and facilities. We did provide a little more guidance, if you will, for some of the events that have been put on in the last few months since we've cut the budget, to try and transition from us doing the special events to private organizations putting on the special events, or community groups putting on special events. So it has taken us a little more time than just disseminating information, but we're hoping that we transition to full, where we just facilitate and coordinate. With that, one of the things that we know we need to look at is, in the upcoming budget process, is maybe look at a fee for that facilitation and coordination. And what we're trying to do right now is identify the time that we spent with the last couple of events, and that was the Veterans Day Parade, in terms of how much time it took us to provide that assistance for the event. But what we're here today for is because we've got some competing interest in some of the events, and so what we're putting forth today is a proposed process to deal with those events where we've got more than one entity interested in putting on the event. We put together a process and we forwarded it to the City Attorney's Office for legal review, and now what I'd like to do is turn it over to Alfred to discuss the opinions that we got from outside counsel.
Morning, Mayor and Council. If you recall, we were before this board about 3 months ago to discuss this special events policy and the direction that Council wanted to go forward with respect to special events. We subsequently retained the law firm of Mariscal Weeks and principally Freda Bisman and David Burkett of that firm to provide us with a legal opinion with respect to some of the questions that came out of the discussion that we had had before Council. The legal findings that Mariscal Weeks provided to us are somewhat summarized in page 2 of your packet. And I asked Freda Bisman to come here today and discuss and answer any questions, provide a brief overview for you, and answer any questions with respect to some of the issues that she found with respect to our special events policy. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Freda for her presentation.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor and Council. Thank you for having me here this morning. As an introductory matter, I want to confirm my understanding. I'm sure, as you all realize, this is legal advice, and under the Arizona Open Meeting Law, we could have this discussion for legal advice in executive session. One would obviously have to be scheduled. It's my understanding that you wish to receive this advice in work study and thereby waive any attorney-client privilege. I just want to confirm that that is the case. And I'll proceed on that basis unless somebody tells me otherwise.
Yeah, I do have a question. We have some material in here that does some specific citing that I think was furnished in blue. Normally that is attorney-client privileged. If we proceed, as you're mentioning, do we then release that, or the ability to release that, or would we still keep that as attorney-client privilege?
Mayor, I think it will decide on how detailed the discussion gets. Obviously, we have already been given direction to provide the summary of Ms. Bisman's opinion in the council report. That is already public record and has been disclosed. The details of the report that was provided to you as a confidential, it is still confidential, but I think depending on how detailed this discussion becomes today, it may become public. If you want to maintain this memorandum as confidential, then we should reschedule this as an executive session.
Okay, so by not having it in an executive session, this becomes part of the record. It could be.
It could be.
All right, I'm very comfortable with that because I think a lot of the basis of what we're doing has to do with some of the legal opinion that's encompassed in this. I don't think it has a financial impact necessarily. It does have kind of a free speech and some other implications that are alluded to, but that's my opinion. Let's see if there's any contraries to that. Tom?
I was just going to say, Mayor, that other than having Frieda read the things that are on the in our council report and on the board, I think if she goes beyond that really in any more depth, it releases the contents of the confidential memorandum, and I don't have any problem releasing it. I don't know that we need to go much beyond the summary conclusions, but I have, like you, no problem with having this entire document become public record and having this discussion in public.
Rex?
In fact, I had a couple of, not being a lawyer, a couple of questions on the document, so I'd like to be able to release it.
I think that seems to be the opinion, so let's go ahead and that's our understanding as a council.
Okay, thank you, Mayor and Council. I'm going to address a couple of issues briefly, and then I understand that you have questions that you'd like to address to me. One point that I want to clarify, I'm not sure that it comes across clearly from the written materials that you have, is one, and I'm sure you know this before, that your parks are public fora. That means that they, what goes on in the park is generally subject to First Amendment protections, and that understanding is underlies a lot of our legal advice on this issue. The second part is that you do have the authority to impose what's called reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions on even First Amendment activities that happen in your public park. And what's critical is that whatever restrictions that you impose or apply are tied to a significant public interest that you've been able to articulate, and that you can make a connection between those restrictions or those criteria and that public interest. I think that that's the core of any distinction that we make and any process that you come up with in terms of governing your activities in the public parks. At this point, I could go over a little bit more detail what you have in your written materials, or I could address your questions. I can go a little bit further if you would like.
Okay, I think, why don't we go through some of the list of questions up there? I think that will get to it.
Thank you. The first question is, can the city give preference to one nonprofit over another as long as there are narrow restrictions in its selection, ensuring that the restrictions serve a significant interest? And the answer is, again, it depends on what that interest is and are the preferences tied to that interest. I will tell you that there are cases of record saying that under certain circumstances, a distinction, for example, between profit, for-profit and nonprofit is not always legitimate. There are cases where that involved public parks, a distinction between we want the events to be sponsored by only nonprofits for reasons that had to do, for example, with protecting merchants. We don't want somebody to sell goods at an art fair in our public park and compete with our merchants. And the court said, you know, a nonprofit and a for-profit in that circumstance can both be competing with your merchants, and therefore, in that case, it was not a legitimate distinction. So the answer to the question is a qualified yes. You can give a preference as long as the preference is tied to a significant government interest and that there's a connection, a logic between that preference and your criteria.
Okay, Vice Mayor.
Can we give some specific examples? Suppose you have two nonprofits, both of which have some significant interest, have aligned themselves in some way that has some significant interest with your community. Are you then left, and you know, I think we all know what we're talking about here. We have some people who both want to do the same event. So then do you judge which one is more significant than the other one, or you know, how do you make that determination?
Okay, let's back up, because in the first, you have to articulate it almost before you look at those two entities.
Sure.
You have to say, what are our criteria? If we start with a blank slate, before we know who those entities are, we have to have criteria. How are we going to determine who our sponsor is? What are we going to look at? And what is it that we're trying to accomplish by what we're looking at? So it starts with the question before you even know. I understand that you're faced with a specific circumstance, but you almost have to go back as though you weren't and say, we have an event in our public parks. We want to select a sponsor. What are our concerns? And then how are we going to establish criteria for choosing between interested entities in selecting one of them?
And I understand what you're saying, but let's say at the end of the day you've set up those criteria. Mm-hmm. And now you have two interested entities that come forward, both of which in some way would contribute to the benefit of the community. And they both fall under whatever that was that you set up ahead of time.
And am I to assume, Vice Mayor, that your criteria are going to the benefit of the community? I mean, we probably need something more specific. What are the criteria? What are you trying to accomplish in your selection?
Well, and that's a good question, because to assume that we have no knowledge just wouldn't be true. I mean, we are starting with some knowledge base, and some of those things could be historic contributions with, and let me just talk about sister cities for a minute, you know, historic contributions in terms of economic development, partnering with other people. But what if the other entity comes in and says, yes, but, you know, our interest is that we're going to take all of whatever we earn and we're going to put it towards library books. Well, both of those could be significant to the community. So what, you know, how would you set up criteria? Maybe that's where I should have gone to. How did you set up criteria that allowed you to judge between one public good and another public good?
Well, I think Vice Mayor, members of the council, you would almost have to go back to what's the purpose of our event? What interest is it serving, and what do we want to look at when we choose between these? For example, since you've mentioned the criteria of historic contributions, that standing alone is not necessarily a valid criteria. The courts have said, for example, in a case of a government that said, we're going to give preference to someone with a history because we think that they'll do a better job, and the court said, well, that alone is not necessarily an indicator of whether they'll do a better job.
Well, and in terms of, you're now talking about whether or not they would do a better job with the event, and what I'm talking about is that they've contributed over years, and the, you know, the benefit that they have contributed to the community has been over years, and so the likelihood that they are going to continue to contribute benefit to the community exists. Now, that doesn't mean the other one can't. So let's say both of them we see as providing value to the community. How does the public body then determine between one providing a public good and the other one providing a public good? And the answer is, Chris?
Let me weigh in on some experiences where I've done this on larger scale events. Is you have to set that criteria at the beginning.
Sure.
The council with the staff says, here's what we're trying to accomplish out of this event, which might mean, typically, the evaluation criteria may include what experience you have in running these events, but then sometimes the distinguishing factor is you as a body establish that one of the criteria that will be assessed is what will your contributions be to community, you select community criteria of that event into the future. Maybe there's guaranteed minimum contributions, or in the evaluation process, who's going to guarantee the most significant contribution to certain MESA entities or
programs or things like that. That's how I've seen it done in the past. I mean, so you want to have someone who has the capacity, this you know, knowledge and experience to do this, and has and will get all the appropriate licenses and can pull all that together. But then sometimes it's okay, what criteria does it meet? And a lot of cities actually, that's why they use their parks foundations, because then those dollars go back to a foundation to go back into parks or directly go to programs that the city is trying to support. And the distinguishing criteria becomes between competing groups, who's going to commit to making the more significant contribution.
Thank you.
Good. Tom?
I guess just to follow up on that, I guess what I'd like to know is, are you suggesting that we have to have a different criteria for each event if there's different public purposes that are identified with each event, or should we have one criteria that relates to all events?
Mayor, Councilmember Rouse, no, I'm not suggesting that you have to have criteria for each event. It's certainly acceptable and not unusual to have criteria for all events in the public parks. And as the city manager just articulated, for example, one criteria could be if one of your goals is a contribution, a financial contribution to the city or to city interest, that could cut across all of your events. And I think it would not be uncommon to establish criteria for all of your events in the park.
Then my follow-up question, and maybe it's getting ahead of the cart in front of the horse, but have you reviewed the proposed criteria application scoring system in this kid that's before us in our packet?
Mayor, Councilmember, yes, I have reviewed them briefly. I'm not sure that I've reviewed them exactly in the form that they're before you, but I do have them in front of me.
It would seem to me that what I would want to know from either you or our in-house attorney is whether or not this supplemental application criteria scoring passes constitutional muster, and to what extent do we have the ability to adjust these numbers, emphasize one over the other, if any. So I guess I have the advantage of having read memos like yours more frequently than other people probably, but you know, I agree with your legal analysis. I agree with your conclusions, the four conclusions you've come up with. I just need to know whether or not this particular system complies.
Mayor, council member, thank you. I'm not trying to talk in riddles to you, but when I did review your criteria, the question in my mind, and maybe it's there, and I, because I'm not a familiar, I don't understand it, is looking at the criteria, what is the purpose that you're trying to serve by those criteria? I can't really answer your question until I know what purpose you're trying to serve.
And I agree with you, because when I read this, that's why I asked whether there should be different ones for different events, because I can't see a specific governmental purpose that's being advanced by this criteria either, other than we want a good event, we want you to be good at managing it, and gee, we'd like something in return.
Mayor, council member, and again, it may well be there. It may be that the people, you know, sometimes the people who are drafting this or you and considering it, it's so clear in your minds that you know what it is, but I think it will help you in the event that there's a challenge or people are concerned about why did you make the decision you did, if that can be articulated in your policy up front. What is our goal? And then we can go through and certainly address each of the criteria and say, is this tied? That's the second question. Now we have your goal, we have your criteria, which I do have in front of me. How are they tied? Are they reasonably tied, and are they as least restrictive as possible to meet your goal? But the goal is the first step.
Councilmember Griswold.
Let me sort of follow up on that if I can. I'm looking at the events, and let's say I took Cinco de Mayo MLK, and I say it's to celebrate multicultural events. Then I come down to Turkey Trot. It doesn't quite fit into that, you know, whatever I'm trying. So it's almost, it's Cinco de Mayo and Turkey Trot and the Native American powwow seem to have three different purposes, and almost you define them as, this is what you're trying to accomplish, you're celebrating a multicultural event here. You're having a fun event with, you know, a marathon over here. How do you do the best project on this? I don't think there's one umbrella that can probably unwrap that whole thing. So that's what, coming through here, I had the same struggle, so.
Mayor, council member, if I might, and it's possible that you may decide that you need different criteria, and again, I don't want to put thoughts, you know, in your mouth because I don't know, but for example, when you mention things like MLK or Cinco de Mayo, you know, perhaps one of your criteria, and maybe this is underlying what you've established, is you want to look at an organization that's best able to promote the multicultural purpose. Now, and you're right, if that's one of your purposes, then perhaps that criteria doesn't apply to something like the Turkey Trot.
Okay, so you don't have to, you do not have to have one umbrella that covers everything. You could have different criteria for different events, and that doesn't break any of the legal implications.
Mayor, Councilmember, that's correct as long as you state that up front. In other words, you should have, if you're going to have two sets of criteria, then you want to state that up front. We have these events with this set of criteria. We have these events with a different set of criteria, and the criteria are linked to these to our purposes in the case of each type of event.
To benefit Mesa's residents, okay.
But probably going to have to be more specific than
okay,
that.
Okay, thank you.
Tom?
I want to clarify. My comment about the criteria that I see today isn't intended as a criticism. I think it's a reflection of how difficult this can become without some specific findings and guidance from the policy board as to what the objectives are.
Yeah.
I really think we had the good legal analysis. We had good staff implementation, but unfortunately the staff's implementation was of an objective that has not yet been defined. And so I'm not sure that this policy answers the problem. It's almost, as I said in another context, had the cart before the horse. I think it's very difficult to draft this until you have some reflection from us as to what you want, what we want the event to achieve for the community, and I think that can change by event, so it becomes even more difficult.
Vice Mayor.
Well, I think I've had in my mind what that is. I'm just not sure whether that's okay to have that in my mind. And that is I think that what we were doing, and everybody can tell me this isn't what they were doing, is we were trying to provide an opportunity for special events in our community that also could potentially serve as fundraisers for entities that serve the community. And that, I thought, was the direction that we were headed. Now, I don't know if that's a legitimate purpose, but it seemed to me that it provided, and let me just pick out a different one, the Turkey Trot. The Sertoma Club has done that for years. The Sertoma Club then turns around and does the, you know, Constitution celebration. They do a number of things, but they do a lot of involvement things with the schools in the community and things that benefit residents of Mesa. That's what they turn around and use that money for. So people got to enjoy the activity of the Turkey Trot, and there are a lot of people who do, and then the community got to benefit from the money that was raised by the Sertomans from the Turkey Trot. And so that was my thought in that. Now, I don't know if that's a legitimate public purpose.
Vice Mayor, council members, I think it's probably better if I don't respond too specifically. I think there are legitimate public purposes in there. I think they have to be fleshed out even in more detail in order to sustain your criteria and your process. Just by way of example, fundraisers that serve the community, certainly a public purpose, but in order to be able to distinguish between your various entities that serve the community, you're probably going to have to come up with criteria that are even more specific. And I suspect that a lot of this, there is knowledge on the part of your staff of what your goals are, but I think they have to be articulated in a great deal of detail in this circumstance because of the First Amendment protections.
Okay, do you want to proceed with the other questions, Tom, on this?
And I think Claudia raises another really interesting point, which let's assume that we get all the great, we get our objectives identified, refined, specified, everything is, and then we have our criteria and two entities, one for library books and one for fire engines, come in and they score exactly the same. What do we do under those circumstances? And I don't expect you to be able to answer that question right now, but I think that's the next logical jump that we have to be prepared to deal with, with which we have to be prepared to deal.
Scott said take the fire truck.
Kyle.
I yield.
As this discussion progresses, I'm concerned that we set up a problem that would interrupt, as in the turkey trot, something that has gone on unfettered for years, been a great situation, and if we muddy the waters too much, it could cause a problem there. In the turkey trot, are we doing fee-wise? Are we waiving fees on the turkey trot? How are we involved as a city on that, Rhett?
Currently, our direction with special events is just to bill them for direct costs. So those things that we necessarily own or whatever, we have been able to provide those to them. But when we have direct expenses, labor, whatever, we've billed those back to those organizations.
But theoretically, if we set up guidelines and include something like the turkey trot in here, theoretically, another organization could come in and change that long history.
That's correct.
That in itself is very bothersome to me.
Sorry, Kyle. There's some response in the about history and whether that's.
I've read that, but I'm just saying we could open a whole Pandora's box by getting into all the legal hoopla here. Mm-hmm. That
we're not opening it.
Or not.
You'd be there anyway.
Hoopla pays your bills, Tom? Okay. Sorry, Tom. I don't want to step too hard there.
Okay.
The whole reason we're having this discussion is really based on the Cinco de Mayo issue and the historical aspect of it. Sister Cities did it for a number of years. The city took over. Sister Cities still did the sale of drinks. And then when we pulled out our backing all together last year, the staff just put it out and had another entity come in and run it. Sister Cities did the drinks, but it did not go as well as in previous years. And so the question was, do we just let Sister Cities do it again? Then we have a challenge of somebody else. So when it comes to the benefit, we have Sister Cities who has the interest, and then I understand that the individual who did it last year made an effort to partner up with another organization. Is that where we're at? Who's the other entity that's actually going to make the application? I mean, it's...
The entities that I'm aware of are Navoa and Sister Cities that would be interested in the Cinco de Mayo event this coming year.
Okay. And what is Navoa? Give me specific.
I'll have to refer to somebody. In fact, I think they're here today, but I'll have to go back to the folks at Parks that work with them in the past.
Just a quick brief one.
Mayor and council members, Navoa is a marketing organization, and they've partnered with nonprofits in the past to put on public events.
Okay. I'll leave it at that, because I had heard that they were wanting to partner with the Parks Foundation. And if that were the case, if Parks Foundation were the ones entering into the agreement, the last points on there is identify anticipated contribution to be made to the Mesa Parks Foundation, which would just invalidate the whole thing if that's who they're partnering with. So I'm just curious how it evolved into that point, knowing the background of this particular situation.
One point, you know, sometimes it's difficult to draw a policy in for one particular instance without having to pull everything in else into it. And that's kind of what we found ourselves with as we started developing this policy and looking at past practices. It became somewhat difficult to try to find a way not to disrupt already events that are ongoing, but recognizing, as we've found now in Cinco de Mayo, that there could be a time, sometime in the future, that there might be a competing interest for events that have been historically run by one group. And that would put us in a situation where we then have to start making choices between the two. The process that you have before you today only suggests that this application would be required when there were competing interests for the same event or for the same park location for that event. So to be, you know, as you pointed out, this really then narrows it down to just really one at this time that we're aware of. This wouldn't apply to the others at this time because we don't have competing interests. It was the competing interest conflicts creates that we didn't have to create this kind of level playing field that allows interests to be able to come in and suggest that they can do it. And you know how we have to make that choice between competing interests is what the application process is. And certainly it would probably be helpful for us to get direction from council when we do come upon those conflicting interests is what then are the criteria, or what should be the weight of criteria in making that selection. As you've heard, we're not necessarily able to just say just because you've been doing it for the last several years that makes you the most qualified, or that should be the only criteria to determine whether or not you should get it into the future. And so that's something we need to think about. It also probably should be the policy of council to give us a direction on what types of groups should be allowed to have fundraising activities in city parks. Do they necessarily have to be nonprofits, and do they necessarily have to be contributing back to MESA programs? You know, in theory, you could have some group come in to create a revenue stream that may then make contributions to some interests, maybe some in MESA somewhere else or some other place. I don't know if we want to go there, but those are just some questions that would be helpful to get some guidance on in this discussion.
Okay, Rex.
Are you allowed to, I'll use a word that's unpopular, discriminate? If the skinheads of America wanted to provide one of these, you know, groups, can you say, no, not in our town? Or they contribute the most to the library books, so the skinheads of America get to put on whatever it is and hijack an event.
Mayor, Vice Mayor, Council Member, you can't discriminate just based on who they are, but you certainly might have criteria that would address the concerns that you might have, for example, with skinheads of America, using your example.
You have to have hair or something?
No, pardon me?
You have to have hair or something?
There you go.
No problem.
But, you know, and I, again, it's hard, you know, at this moment to come up with those criteria, but the answer to your question is, based on who the group is alone, no. Again, it has to go to the criteria, and how does that group rate against in the criteria?
Now, if we had a set fee for the park, and somebody wanted to pay that fee, a private, like the veterans this year put on the veterans parade, totally, they could discriminate and say, we don't want the skinheads of America marching in our parade. We can't, as a public organization, say that, but they can as a private if they take the area. Now, if somebody rents and pays the fee for it, are they allowed to decide who their vendors are and not, and or are they under our public laws that they can't discriminate against anybody?
Mayor, Vice Mayor, Council Members, you are allowed to establish certain criteria for what goes on in your public parks. So the answer is you don't have to allow just anything, and there are some cases that talk about what those criteria are in terms of certain activities are just considered to be inappropriate for a public forum. And you know, some of the examples are pretty extreme. You know, adult activities, you know, don't go on public parks, but there are others in that category. So yes, you can establish those criteria. On the other hand, if you have a system that meets legal requirements, for example, to let private groups rent, if you will, or use your public parks, then it's also acceptable for them to have some discretion as, for example, how do they arrive at who their food vendors are.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, should we, go ahead, Tom, sorry.
Two other, maybe three comments. One is, even if we were still sponsoring these events, we would still have the same need to have criteria to select between competing things. So I don't want anybody to think that the only reason this is arising is because we're no longer sponsoring the events. We never covered all the costs, even when we did it. We were a partial sponsor. So that event is, or this is necessitated by more than that. I'm more than happy to hear the rest of the legal discussion. It does appear to me that probably what we need most at this moment is for staff, with the assistance of the city attorney and the outside attorney, if that's deemed advisable, to identify for us potential objectives. I mean, to sit here around this table this morning and come up with what we want to have as the objective, I think is probably a little futile. I think we had more time to reflect on it. So I'm more than happy to hear the rest of the legal opinion, but I think it's fairly clear. I think what we need to do is to have the objectives, identify those objectives, pick from the ones that staff comes up with, the ones that we come up with, and then let the criteria be designed to fit those objectives, and then get final legal review to make sure that our objectives and criteria mesh in a constitutional manner. So what I'm saying is basically we can do anything we want this morning, but I don't think we're going to get to where we need to be this morning without another substantial discussion.
Right. What's the timeline as far as you trying to schedule events and move forward? Looks like January 1st is when you'd like to have it done. All right.
Christmas Eve meeting.
Okay. Vice Mayor.
Did we trigger this because, and I agree that you know, this didn't come about because of that, but if we had just left things with first come, first served, would we still have this?
Mayor, Vice Mayor, members of the council, I'm not sure I know all the details, but my understanding is that this comes about because perhaps for the first time you have two entities that are both interested in sponsoring an event. I think that's what creates the situation you're in now, because before, if you only have one entity, then you just don't encounter these issues.
Sure, but if you had something that said, you know, first one in line, or you draw something out of the hat, I mean, is that a legitimate, you can't use that?
Mayor, Vice Mayor, not if you have competing entities. There are some cases specifically on
okay.
the point.
Okay, I was interested in that. Yeah. I'm not sure that I need to hear the rest of the legal opinion, because I don't disagree with anything you had in your memo. I think we're at the crux of what the problem is. So I'm not sure going through and listening to all the rest of it really really makes sense. I guess I need to understand what it is that will meet those criteria, as Tom said, outline what those purposes are, and then I was concerned when I read and I understand why we would be saying, since you're using the parks, identify the anticipated contribution to be made to the Mesa Parks Foundation. But as a city council, I don't know that we care any more that it's the City Parks Foundation versus the library versus the fire engine versus something else. So I guess I would eliminate the parks bias in this. And I certainly understand why staff would put that in there, since it's the park that's being used to generate the revenue. But I would eliminate that bias from it. Other than that, I'm okay with having doing what Tom suggested and having these folks generate this list of public purposes that could, because I love passing the buck, and I'm all for that, Tom.
I think before we go there, it may be useful, though, for if there are specific objectives that council members thought they wanted to accomplish, to give you some direction. And otherwise, we're just totally passing it on without any some input here from this discussion. But that might be appropriate to go around and see what criteria or objectives or both some council members had in mind. I think, though, that we've probably covered these, the four points and questions, but the first right I think I'd like you to make sure that all four of those are hit, because there are some people in the audience that are involved in the nonprofits that may not have heard the explanation from our legal staff on the research we've done, and even some council members probably are. It said the city should not grant rights of first refusal merely based on the organizations having hosted a particular event in the past. And you, I think we cite some United Way stuff as far as some of the legal basis on that. I guess a follow-up question on though is merely based, so it can be a criteria, it can't be the only criteria. And isn't there something that should be, if somebody has taken a number of years to build it up and refine it, and then somebody else wants to, I think the word hijack, that event was used, how does that fit into the analysis? Or can you use some type of criteria that rewards building it over time or having more volunteers or more, I mean, how do you do that? And give some, because they may have lost money or not be successful for a few years, they modified it, now they've got it clicking and somebody else wants to take it over because it is now successful.
Mayor, Vice Mayor, members of the council, I think that's an excellent question because there are some differences in the cases. For example, the United Way case was a question of access to voluntary contributions by city employees. That's a little bit different. You know, if we were saying we're opening up the park for people to do any kind of event they want that furthers their goals, then you'd have an access to public parks issue, and for sure, first come, first serve wouldn't work. I think it's possible when we go back and one, work at articulating your objectives, and then two, look at the criteria, that past experience may have a part to play. I think we have to look at those distinctions. It certainly can't be alone, and we really don't know until we have fully thought through what is underlying these criteria in terms of these objectives. I'm beginning to sound like a broken record, but that is sort of the critical point. So it's an excellent question. It may have a part to play. It can't be, you know, the only criteria, at least without more detail there.
Okay. And the one I think that we haven't addressed very much is the fee waivers. Do you want to hit on fee waivers on that question?
Mayor, Vice Mayor, members of the council, yes. There were two questions that we looked at in regard to fee waivers. One is it a grant to private enterprise that violates the gift clause? As I'm sure you've heard many times before, there's a balancing test, and not necessarily. You know, if the fee waiver serves a public purpose and the benefit to the private enterprise, and private in that sense means a nonprofit as well as a for-profit, doesn't outweigh the benefit to the public, it's not a problem. We think that that's probably acceptable. And there are cases upholding fee waivers. The real issue with fee waivers is that the criteria have to be very clear so that no official can exercise discretion to discriminate against one or the other. It has to be a clear checklist. And if you meet this checklist, you're entitled to the fee waiver. And it's a checklist that people can determine without going behind the scenes, if you will. For example, and I don't give this as necessarily ones that you apply, but you know, are you a nonprofit? We'd have to look at those, but they're clear checkoffs, and also the fee waiver has to be, you have to have time frames. Anything that deals with First Amendment, you have to act. Your public officials, whoever is processing this, has to act within a specified time frame, because of course you can defeat it by putting somebody off. Well, we haven't decided on your fee waiver, and if we wait long enough, then your event is passed. So 10 days, 2 weeks, whatever it is, but your ordinance or policy or whatever you end up with should specifically say, here are our criteria, and here's with the time within which the city will have to evaluate whether you meet that criteria and let you know.
Okay, if there is a fee waiver, but there are still costs involved, I think some of the direct costs might be, but the indirect are not. Can a fee waiver be brought through as part of a budget process, which is a one-year event, or does it have to be more timely than that?
Mayor, Vice Mayor, Council, I'm not sure that I'm fully comprehending your question. When I looked at the issue of fee waivers, we were assuming it was fees that have to do with use of the public park or public facility.
I'll give you an example, the Veterans Day Parade. They put on the parade, but there was still staff resources to tell them how to organize, who to contact. So whether we allocate for staff to accommodate people to do their own events and walk them through the process, that can be a budgeting item for us. We say we're not doing special events, but in effect, we're doing half the work behind the scenes or most of the work anyway. But it, so we're pulling resources that would have been assigned to other tasks. How do we budget for those type of concerns? If you know, and then that becomes the timeliness of who's asking for a fee waiver on, well, what work are you doing, and how much does the fee take care of, and how much does other staff resources going to be drawn to supplement the work to get the activity done?
Mayor Hawker, members of the council, I believe that some of that can be addressed as we think through your policy in terms of, as a policy matter, can city employees assist in these? I think that can become part of your policy. You know, the city manager obviously have to answer the question of how you budget for that, but as a policy matter, I think it's something that we should look at as we go through now. What are your objectives? What are the criteria? And part of that should be, and what can city employees legitimately do as part of these processes? And I think it goes back to the question that Councilmember Griswold asked some time ago between the kinds of events. It may go into, are there different kinds of events? Are there different categories, and some of which city employees can put in
right.
some time?
The other aspect probably of a fee waiver is you have a certain amount of money coming in as revenue from park rentals. And if you do the waiver, then your budget on what you thought was going to be is now reduced. So what makes up that loss in your projected revenues when you start doing waivers throughout the year? So that would be a one-year timeliness then on, we'll only grant up to a certain number of waivers. So I'm just trying to figure out how it fits through the budget cycle.
Mayor Hawker, thank you. I understand the clarification now, and you're absolutely right, of course, that there is a budgeting component, and that's on a year-by-year basis. So as you go through the budget every year, you'd have to look back at your policy and say, are we still accommodating that, or do we have to change our policy?
So could you do an annual? I mean, then if they thought they were going to do a waiver, they needed to apply before the budget process for that, or is that too far out?
Mayor, it's probably too far out. You probably have to look at your policy on at least an annual basis, or as you go through the budget, if there's a change, then go back to the policy. You know, if your budget assumes a certain amount of staff time just to process these matters, then maybe it doesn't come up every year unless you have a budget event that makes it a
okay.
significant change.
Councilmember Griswold.
I think the easy way in the budget, you don't assume you're going to get any fees from these projects, and then you're there extra money if you do charge the fees. The budgeting process, we cut two. I want to check with Red. About $245,000 out of our budget. We cut out all the special events, and we eliminated about three positions. Is that correct?
Mayor and Councilmember Griswold, that's correct. We eliminated 2.8 FTEs and about $250,000. But I think the issue that we're seeing as we're going about this, whether it be the Veterans Day Parade or the Cinco de Mayo, staff still has to coordinate those to a certain degree in terms of, you know, going to the facility, checking up on making sure they're obeying the ordinances and different things as they're, you know, setting up tents or whatever they might be doing, excuse me, traffic flow or whatever. So we're in the process of calculating those as we go through this next season of special events to see what that impact will be. But there will be some financial impact as it relates to the expense side of the budget.
And that's, I think, a fair recovery for a fee. You know, if someone's going to march through our streets, we, you know, they pay for the policemen, they pay for the barricades, but we notify the bus companies that, the, you know, don't reroute the bus that day, and a lot of other things. They sweep the streets, but we still want to be involved if someone's going to use one of our parks, march through our streets, and have some involvement, so some staff time is going to be involved. Now, is that just in our general budget? Is a parks supervisor, you put so much, one of your people is going to spend a third of their time on, you know, things that go on in our city, or including Little League tournaments, etc., or do you charge that into a fee structure? And that's something the budget probably we can wrestle out with. Thank you.
Scott.
I'll have to be the bad guy in this and say that one option we have is just we don't waive fees. We're talking about cutting the budget. We have indirect costs and some direct costs just for helping put these events on. We're not putting the event on, but we're, you know, we have staff time involved in it, as Rex has already mentioned. Maybe we just don't waive fees.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's some, I'd like to just kind of hit everyone with comments on objectives and criteria to give you, because I like Tom's idea of not trying to, you know, write it here today, but to give some viewpoints on where, when it comes back, whether we can get together with four people that might agree with whatever you drafted. So, Tom, then Kyle.
Can I just tell you that I'm a little nervous by that prospect, because we have a couple of competing interests sitting here in the room. It's very possible that even I, as a lawyer, could come up and state some objectives that may in fact not pass constitutional muster. And so we could go around the room and identify a bunch of things that won't ever get by the lawyers. And I think if we do that, we potentially give someone who's not happy with a result in 2 weeks or a month ammunition. So I'd rather not do that. I'd rather submit my ideas to my attorney directly and then let it be funneled through the process and then come back to us and says, here's a list that we got from you and that we've come up with ourselves from other cases that we think pass constitutional muster.
Okay.
I'm just a little nervous that I don't want to hurt ourselves, I guess.
All right. Let me see.
Now, maybe overcautious and taking on Ms. Spinner's role to a new level. But
how many people share Tom's sentiments? I think you hit a chord there. So,
got a question.
All right, Kyle first, and then Mike. Sorry, Kyle had a question too.
Right now, Rhett, you said, and I did the question of the turkey trot. We are charging for a basic cost only. What's included in that cost only that we're talking about?
Mayor and Councilmember Jones, the way I understand these past events, once they were cut out of the budget, is that we are waiving or granting fee waivers for the facility itself, whether it be a park rental or the bleachers or whatever that we own. The thing that we are passing on to those organizations are our direct costs, so that if we had a maintenance worker or whatever the case was and hauling things to that site and back and forth and doing things specific to that event, we are billing those back to that organization.
Okay. And I'm fine with that to cover direct costs, and I personally would feel comfortable to let our city manager have his discretion of how much staff involvement should be with anything. If it comes to giving guidance on a parade, maybe it's the first time, they don't know what they're doing. Maybe the first year might take a little more, but I would feel comfortable letting the city manager make that determination on what the situation is, because there's very few of them. And I'm fine with doing the direct costs that we can identify if we have to bring in something that we're paying for, and passing that through and let the city manager make the determination on how much staff involvement there should be.
Mike?
On the proposed process, it says the Parks Commercial Facilities Director designee, the board makes the final determination. Is there an appeal process? Is there a legal appeal process that the applicant could have?
Mayor, Councilmember, we would recommend that there be an appeal process from that determination. It's a due process concern in the First Amendment matter. So our recommendation would generally be that there be an appeal process. You know, we'll know better if there's some specific that makes us rethink that. But in general, that's a very good idea.
But based on set criteria, not just coming to the council for a 4-3 vote because we like one versus the other.
Correct. And once we have those criteria, then that's going to govern not only the initial decision, but also any appeal process, because an appeal is generally where those criteria satisfied.
Would we then designate a staff appeal, or would it be, I don't know who you would designate for an appeal if the committee, I'd have to think through who that appeal person would be, or body would be.
Mayor, Councilmember, that's something we would look at. I don't think it necessarily needs to be the council, but again, as we go through the process, we can look at that and perhaps give you options.
One other potential that we haven't talked about is some sort of a policy that would allow for a shared event. You know, perhaps there's room for more than one entity to co-sponsor an event, divide the event up, to where there's, you know, someone's not precluded necessarily. You know, you get a Budweiser tent on one side and a Heineken tent on the other. And and a lemonade in the middle.
Vice Mayor.
The Ad Hoc Committee on Committees is about to bring forward a recommendation. We could include a new committee that handles all controversial appeals, and I volunteered Tom Rawls to be the sole member of that committee.
Revenge is sweet. Hang him.
I think you could.
He's still voting.
Vote against yourself. I think that there's one other thing I want to make sure is out there, because there are people who are listening who have followed this along, and one of the things that we deal with in Mesa are the myths and urban legends that exist. Things like other cities have all of these laws that govern halfway houses, and Mesa has none. We operate under the same federal laws as everybody else. Same thing with First Amendment. We operate under the same federal laws as everybody else. And we had heard rumors that there were other cities, including neighboring cities, that just gave preference to certain entities for events. As you did the research, Trish, what did you find out about other communities just giving preference for events?
My understanding is, based on staff research, that that doesn't happen, that you don't get that preference.
And that the real issue was that nobody had ever come forward asking for the event, so they didn't have two competing interests for an event.
No, our cutting the budget for this kind of raised this issue, so we didn't have this issue before. So.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mayor, just quickly, one of the concepts in here, too, kind of get a little bit of feedback from council, or we can talk about it the next time, was one of the ideas was where we have competing interests, we may be looking towards maybe providing for like a multiple year opportunity, so that, you know, the argument kind of goes to, well, it takes more than a year to keep the sponsors in play and do it, not for an extended period, maybe a 3-year period or something like that. So that's something we also probably ought to address next time we visit, because I think it is difficult for some of these event sponsors, if their sponsors think they only have it for 1 year, in creating that branding and creating that, you know, attraction, may want, if it's alternating every year for someone else, it may be a difficulty. So it's something we thought about, maybe short term, maybe 3-year cycles would be something to look at also in the future. So I don't know, we can talk about that the next time we come back.
Okay, well, I'm getting the direction that we're looking for objectives, criteria for evaluation, and go through something that can be, I guess the other description was used by multiple applicants, not necessarily specific to a particular event, but there may be some unique circumstances of that event too. So a pretty all-encompassing multi-year. What else was thrown out? The fee waiver and the time for the application versus the budget cycle would be something I'd be interested in, on how far in advance you could do that. Any other aspects to throw in? Vice Mayor.
Actually, something Trish just said, I just processed that. Are you suggesting that if this were the City of Mesa's event, then we wouldn't have this process? We wouldn't have this issue in play?
I don't know if that's what I was saying. I'd turn it over to the attorney on that one.
I'm just saying we didn't have this issue before. No, but nobody ever brought it up, so.
If we were the sponsors for the event, and you know, it's interesting, because if people want this event, that means it's a money-making event. Why would you want an event that wasn't a money-making event? So should we want this event? Did you look at Chris's face when I said that?
No.
Yeah, we could hire back those personnel and build up staff.
I wasn't trying to go to that place.
Right,
but, you know, is this a money-making event that we should be looking at? We could make money on it, and we get this entity, and, you know, they could make a little, and that entity, and they could make a little. We hire an outside event coordinator, and we make money.
Anyone want to follow up on that?
Is that, are you telling me, I'm looking at the attorney now. Are you telling me that that would then remove this conversation that we're having right now?
Let me see if maybe see if I understood the question. I think if we were the sole sponsors, then yes, that would resolve it. If we still have co-sponsors and we had entities that wanted were competing to be the co-sponsor, we would be in the same position. This is the first time it came to be an issue because it's the first time we've had multiple entities wanting to be the sponsors. So it was our cutting the budget, I think, is what maybe prompted it, but the same situation could arise whether we were involved or not.
And let me just say that one of the things that, I have noticed with some events is that the margin of profit may be the very investment that the city makes in the event. So I'm not really, you know, my tongue is only is slightly in my cheek in this, but I just wondered, I wanted to follow up on what Trish had said. So sorry, Mayor, I processed that a little slowly.
Okay.
Thanks.
Just to jump on that point, private enterprise moves a lot leaner and quicker than government agencies. Someone that puts on an event for a living usually does better than somebody who takes care of little leagues and parks and does a different kind of. You can learn the skill after a while, but it's a long learning process and usually a losing process. You pay for those lessons. So outsourcing it to people that want to do it professionally or know how to do it is just fine with me as long as the quality of the event doesn't suffer. The residents get the same quality at no cost to the city. I think that's a great way to do it. I think it's working out well now. The events we've had sponsors step up for nearly every event because they are good quality events. So the only criteria when you have too many sponsors step up for an event is how do you choose the best one? Where can you have a shared revenue? And those are criteria points we'll have to pick.
Mayor? My understanding is previous to a specific event, the two competing interests actually somewhat coexisted, and the city was the part that kind of organized it and identified the roles for each of the groups. So granted, the private sector can sometimes do things very efficiently, but sometimes not as equitably and provide an opportunity for others to be part of it. So to the vice mayor's question, I mean, I think that we've created this vacuum to a certain degree by us stepping out. Now where you had two large participants, now are trying to struggle over who's going to be the sponsor, the in control of the event. And I think that's what's happened is whereas before the city played in that role, it was a city-sponsored event, and then we helped identify the parameters of the roles of these two different groups. And absent that kind of third party, whatever, neutral party, that I think this conflict now has come to head is what it appears to me. And I don't know if that helps solve the problem for this coming year, but I think it identifies kind of the history of where this was and why maybe we've gotten to where we are, so.
Okay. Where does the profitability come from? Is it from the beer sales? Is it from the vendors? Do we know?
Mayor, council members, yeah, the majority is from the sponsors. I mean, they have title sponsors that underwrite it and give product in kind and so forth so that they're able to sell that and make a return on their investment.
Okay. All right. I think, go ahead.
Yeah, if I could, Mayor, real quick, just to bring your attention to this upcoming year, one of the issues that we have is May 5th, and as we approach January, the entities, regardless of who it is, would only starting January 1, have 4 months to produce this event. And so the time is of the essence with this, as they're trying to line up sponsors and talent and everything else for this particular event. It is getting very close to the cutoff time for that.
So we'll bring this back to you probably the 4th or the 8th of January. It'll be a quick turnaround.
Mike.
What's the cost of Cinco de Mayo? What did we spend for that event?
Mayor, Councilmember Whalen, I believe that particular event was $56,000, what was budgeted in the Mesa Parks and Recreation budget.
How much are we spending in legal fees trying to get this thing squared away? I'm just wondering if we've got only one event, would it be worthwhile for us to revisit our policy of being involved in that event since it is a community event and not have to go this route? It seems like sometimes we cut off our nose to spite our face. Just an opinion.
Tom?
I just want to point out that the memo from Frieda was dated October 19th, 2006. That was over 2 months ago. So if there's a time crunch now, it's certainly not this council's time crunch.
Right. If I could, Mayor and council members, one of the things that we've done with that particular legal opinion is take it to the Parks Board, and they meet only once a month. And so in terms of getting into their docket, it has taken a little longer than anticipated as they reviewed this and came up with the criteria.
Kyle.
My one last comment on the whole issue is I think our city manager just stated it very well, is it worked well for a long time because we were the moderating party. And when it went private, the equity went down the tubes. That became the problem. And equity could come back to where it was, we wouldn't be having this whole long discussion. And if parties are willing to balance that equity, we'd be fine and be through with it. So, final comment.
I don't often disagree with Kyle, but being a major city, you're going to have to come across these. We've had small town policies, ways of doing things, etc. We're now a big city. You have to work these things out and be equitable. How do you be fair, and how do you legally protect yourself for your decisions? We would have to go through this decision whether we were running it or not. And usually you wait till someone sues you to go through them. We're being proactive rather than reactive. This is a nice way to do it. So unfortunately, that's the price of being a large city.
Okay. I think the direction is trying to draft something up that can be a policy that can be incorporated in the city that hopefully will sustain the test of time and also constitutional muster, and bring it back as quickly as possible, and we'll take another look. Okay, item number two is acknowledging receipts of various boards and committees. We have two. I have a motion and second to acknowledge receipt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hear reports on meetings and our conferences attended. Number three. Anyone have any reports? Want to thank Elaine Miner for her service on Mesa School Board. She had a reception the other night. The Vice Mayor and I know we're in attendance there. Scheduling of meetings and general information, Mr. Brady.
Actually, this will be meetings we're not going to have. We won't be having a meeting next Thursday, December 28th, but we will be coming back. Our first meeting of the new year will be Thursday, January 4th, study session, which will be followed by a utility committee meeting. And then our first regular scheduled council meeting will be Monday, January 8th, study session and council meeting.
Vice Mayor.
The ad hoc committee on committees has finished its work, and we're ready to bring that back, I think, after the first of the year, Ms. Spinner? Is that what we're looking at?
Yes, so. I'll try and have a memo to you sometime next week, and assuming it's with the intent of the committee, we'll be able to bring it forward shortly thereafter.
I should have probably done that on reporting on meetings or whatever. We had a meeting yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Rex?
I won't be able to be there at the January 8th meeting. It's our 33rd anniversary. I'm taking my wife away for a week.
Oh, all right. Putting pressure on everybody else. Huh?
Didn't you do that last year?
All right.
That was
30 seconds. Do we have any requests to speak this morning?
We have none, Mayor.
Okay. Then the study session is adjourned, but I need to call a special council meeting to order for the purposes of convening an executive session.
Second.
I have a motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
Debbie, you want these?